Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytic Solutions, LLC. And in this show, we're going to discuss cloud computing in my Microtech Exchange series. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. This series, Microtech Exchange, is a series of radio shows that provides specialists in industry practical insights into technology from research and academic publications. Each show focuses on a recent article in a research publication and, based on a combination of my 30-plus years in the computing industry and 20-plus years university teaching, explains how that research can make a difference in a practical way. Because this is a brief or micro exchange of technology from the research world to industry practitioners, a full reference to the article discussed is provided to allow interested listeners access to whatever level of detail they require to get the most value out of the tech exchange. This show looks at a view of cloud computing from the University of California, Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. The authors of the article are Michael Amherst, Armando Fox, Rain Griffith, Anthony Joseph, Randy Katz, Andy Kowinski, Gung Ho Lee, David Patterson, Ariel Ramkin, Ion Stokoa, and Marty Zaharia. The article was published in the Communications of the ACM, April 2010, Volume 53, Number 4, Page 50. Now, this is a fairly long article, and it has a tremendous amount of information in it. Therefore, this article will be discussed over several radio shows. So I will include a little introduction of cloud computing in each of the radio shows as either a refresher or so that you can listen to the radio show of your choice. For more details, you can certainly look at the article we're going to discuss because it has a nice overview of cloud computing with some good examples. But very briefly, cloud computing is providing computing capabilities over the internet. And there are a number of vendors that are doing this: Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and others. But what kind of computing are we talking about? How is this organized and how do you use it? Well, the article talks about different categories, and they make the statement that only one of them is applicable. And I disagree to some extent. And so let's talk about what the common industry categories are. Although understand that there are no official standards for this. So part of what the article is pointing out is that this is still a growing and developing environment. So you really have to look at what an individual vendor says they're delivering, and it may be somewhere between these categories. The first one is infrastructure as a service. That's capital I, small a, capital S. And that is basically a hardware infrastructure. It's just the computing environment so that you can put on it whatever operating system will run on that particular computing environment. All the applications you want, it's basically as if you bought a computer, you get to do with it what you want, but you don't have to pay for it all the time. The next is platform as a service. That's capital P, lowercase a, capital S. Platform as a service is the same as infrastructure with a service as a service, but with the operating system environment included. So it's a more of a platform. And it may be a Windows platform or a Unix platform or a Linux platform, but it includes more than just the hardware. And the cloud provider then supports that platform environment so that the cloud user doesn't have to do that. And last is software as a service. That's capital S, lowercase a, lowercase a, capital S. And software as a service is buying access to a software application. Salesforce.com is a good example of that. You're not interested in what the platform is, what the infrastructure is. You don't care about the computers it's running on. All you want to be able to do is interact with that software, with that application. So those are the three kind of broad categories. Now, the article makes the statement that infrastructure as a service and platform as a service are too ill-defined to be usable, and that they're really subsets of software as a service. And although I see their point, I disagree, because there are specific needs for infrastructure as a service and platform as a service that really are outside of the motivations for software as a service. However, the observations that the paper makes can be applied to any three of these categories or to whatever the cloud provider is defining their service as, because they don't have to pick one of these categories. And in fact, they may be between them. They may provide something more than what we would talk about in one of these categories, but less than what's in another one. We looked at the obstacles and opportunities 1 through 5 in an earlier radio shows. So let's look at 6, scalable storage. What are the properties for persistent storage? When we talk about moving computing into the cloud, it's fairly easy to see how we move the computational aspect of it. But what about the data, the storage? When you move a program to the cloud, it needs data to be able to do the computations, and very often generates data as a result. So what do the cloud providers do to have some sort of persistent storage? What is the mechanism? Now we have really two issues. We have a short-term storage, that's the data that's being used sort of in transit while the computation is running. And that needs to scale up and down. But we also have the long-term persistent storage that you want to have even though you have turned off or decommissioned a computer in the cloud. And this allows us to say we have a cluster of 10 or 20 computers providing the minimal workload, supporting the minimal workload. But as workload increases, we have to add more computers. They need to bring in whatever that data is as they're provisioned. When they're done, they need to save their results so that the remaining computers in that cluster have access to those results in case they're needed. So the concept that we were looking at from the cloud computing point of view is this infinite capacity on demand. And there's still a lot of open research into this problem. So the opportunity is this infinite storage, but the obstacle is that it's very difficult to implement. Now, 7 is bugs in large-scale distributed systems. Now, the opportunity here is that we have a very large environment and we can do a lot of analysis. But the problem or the obstacle is that as these environments get very big, we have issues with the way virtualization is implemented, with isolation, with an interreaction that may not be duplicatable in a small scale. So we'll see anomalies or bugs or problems show up that are only seen in that large-scale environment, which makes it extremely difficult to troubleshoot because you can't replicate it in a small environment. You put it into the production environment where you may have 1,000 or 2,000 servers, and the problem manifests itself when the environment shrinks down to 1,500, you know, 800 to 1,500 servers, the problem goes away. This is a very difficult problem and is still being researched. Number 8 is scaling quickly. Now, this is a real opportunity for the cloud user. It allows, especially with the business model that many of the producers or the cloud providers have, which is a pay-as-you-go, this allows scaling up and down very dynamically. So you can use statistical analysis. There's research into learning and creating predictive tools that use statistical analysis to automatically adjust and scale up and down to be very responsive. Now, the obstacle to that is that this provides a more and more dynamic workload onto the cloud provider. So an opportunity for the cloud user becomes an obstacle for the cloud provider, because the cloud provider needs to be able to predict what the load is to actually have enough physical hardware available to support this dynamic virtual environment to allow the cloud users to rapidly scale. So what we're seeing here is this overlay of business models. The cloud user's business model is at somewhat odds with the cloud providers, and the cloud provider has to build an environment that successfully protects their business as well as providing the responsiveness and this view of infinite resources on a pay-as-you-go way for the cloud users. So here the opportunities and the obstacles are really point of view dependent. Number 9 is reputation fate sharing. That's a very interesting concept, because the entire cloud is really seen as an entity. The business that runs the cloud service has a reputation, and that reputation is then supported, augmented, or impaired upon by the customers within the cloud, because they're actually the ones doing work. So the entire cloud can be associated with the behavior of some cloud users. So we got really two views of looking at this. One is someone uses the cloud to launch massive spam attacks. So the IP address is associated with the cloud, because remember, the cloud vendor, cloud provider, is trying to share everything. So a lot of these IP addresses are in the same ranges or are dynamic or shared. So this mass amount of spam that's coming out of the cloud will be associated not with that individual user within the cloud, but with the entire cloud provider. Another aspect of it is legal liability. So who is responsible when there's legal action? The cloud user or the cloud provider? Well, now, of course, the cloud provider wants the cloud user to be the responsible party. But many law enforcement organizations are looking at the cloud provider as the legal entity responsible for the actions of all of their users within that cloud environment. So there was actually a case where a cloud provider was investigated and actually shut down because of activities from one of the cloud users. So now we have an effect on the innocent bystander cloud user. So the opportunity here is for the cloud users to gain in reputation by associating with a reputable cloud, and the obstacle is the fate that can happen to the cloud provider or to the innocent bystanders when there is a cloud user that is not as reputable as you might want. The last obstacle and opportunity that we'll discuss is number 10, software licensing. This is a huge area just in virtualization alone. And remember, since most of the cloud providers are leveraging virtualization to provide the economy of scale, they become victims of the virtualization licensing issue, and that affects the cloud users as well. So what is the problem here? The cloud is this large infrastructure of computing components that run some sort of software. The software vendors have traditionally looked at licensing their software to run on a hardware computer, a piece of hardware. Along comes virtualization, and now you may have 5 or 10 or 100 operating system images running on one physical hardware. So does each one of those operating systems need its own license? Within each of those operating system environments, there may be 5 or 6 applications that require licensing. Does each one of them have to have a license, even though they're all running on the same hardware? How is the licensing done? Is the licensing done as users, as computers, as processors, as cores? There are many different ways of licensing. Some vendors actually have tiers of systems. So the bigger your system, the more expensive the license. The problem is, if one single cloud user has need of software that needs to be licensed, and their system is the only system on that physical hardware that uses that license, what is the licensing structure? What is the cost for that license? Is it based on what that user's system looks like, or is it based on the entire physical hardware? So we have an opportunity here to reduce licensing costs through economy of scale and licensing software that is then available for many, many, many users on one piece of equipment. But the obstacle is the licensing agreements from many of the vendors. And there's no standardization. Most of the vendors do it slightly differently. So there needs to be more emphasis on commercial pay-as-you-go software licensing to be able to deal with this. This is one of the reasons that you see many of the cloud providers have stayed focused on the open source software to avoid some of these licensing issues. Well, that's all the time we have for this radio show. I hope you've enjoyed our look at A View of Cloud Computing from the UC Berkeley Reliable Adaptive Distributed Systems Laboratory. I'll be discussing other topics from this paper in other radio shows, so look for the Microtech Exchange radio shows on cloud computing. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search for the GoGo Radio Archive for Dr. Tim R. Norton with Simulytic Solutions, LLC. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.